This is Open Talk Radio, The Flash. Oh yeah, it's about that time, everybody, for GPW Weekly, hosted by Steve Aaron, along with the Macho Ghost. So give it up.
Well, good evening, and welcome back to the return of GPW Weekly. My name is Steve Aaron, and I think somewhere out there in the etherical plane is the very controversial Macho Ghost. Are you there, Mach?
Ooh, yeah, here I am, and I'm only controversial because I choose to wear stripes and polka dots at the same time.
Ooh, boy, that is quite the optical illusion, and a big welcome back on behalf of all your friends at GPW to our fine producer, Mr. Martez Ale. Martez, we hope all is well. We missed you, buddy.
I think he's probably somewhere making too much noise and he can't talk right now, but I assure you, he's there.
Maybe I spoke too soon. Maybe Martez isn't back and we're just getting lucky by some sort of coincidence. Things are going on.
Hello, can you hear me?
Oh, there he is. Martez, is that you?
Yeah, I think it is. You would think I would have this thing down pat after doing it for so long, but I guess I don't, you know?
I knew you were there because I saw Martez at the studio commissary earlier today.
Oh, great. Well, I missed out on the commissary time. Martez, how you doing? You better? Yeah, everything going okay?
Yeah, everything going good. I just want to thank everybody for their support, and same goes out to you. So I'm good. I'm ready to go. I'm ready to get back into the freighter thing.
Yeah. I'll tell you what, if you ever wanted to come back into something that's been gone a few weeks, this is the night to come back because we have, I don't know if 90 minutes is enough time to cover all the ground we've got to cover tonight. We've got a lot of things to talk about. A lot of things went down in September in Posen at the High Road event that we did. A lot of things changed, a lot of things got a little weird, so we'll talk a lot about that. Also, coming up at 7:15, in just a coup to land an interview, we have, to my knowledge, the first radio interview with the brand new GPW/CSW superstar, Sky Blue. Now, I know you've heard me talk about Sky before. She obviously came into GPW via the Tinley Park charity event, but she has been in CSW for a bit longer. Little sister, should I say, to Bruise Brothers TJ Steele. So anytime you know you want to get somebody like that, you have to go through their people. So big thanks to TJ for hooking me up to get this interview tonight. So she'll be coming up in just a little while. And if you guys have been watching the interweb at all, she had a very big match that we'll talk about at CSW this past Saturday against Missa Kate, the champion. And she took the champ right to the end of the match. And if you want to watch it, go to the Articulator SK's YouTube page, and it's there. It's a great watch for anybody that likes wrestling, and you'll see why I think the sky is the limit for Sky Blue, no pun intended.
Now, not to interrupt, but that's what I do best other than being macho. But now, don't think because we are off for 2 weeks, and I mentioned on that wrestling show this past Tuesday, you remember that wrestling show with Nit Swink on Evolution Pop at the Illinois Media School every Tuesday from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m.?
I've heard of it.
Yeah, Macho Man calls in at 9 o'clock, so make sure you're listening. But Martez and I, just because we haven't been on the air, and I mentioned that Martez was in prison the last 2 weeks, I want to clarify, he was not in prison in a jail cell. He was ministering to the population.
Oh, yeah. You got it correct. I was.
Mr. Martez's family, stop sending me angry tweets. All right, now, so well, I want to say now, since Martez was not here, and hopefully we can talk Martez, I'll stop interrupting Martez too, but I want to get this point in right off the bat. Just because Martez and I haven't been around the last couple weeks, don't you think we forgot what you did at the last GPW event where you turned evil like I was? I'm not saying I told you so, but I was praying for your soul, and I'm not even a minister, but don't think we don't know that you're as evil as the devil's backside.
Well, here's the thing about evil. Evil is a matter of perspective. Evil is a matter of point of view. And evil is a matter of what you can prove. So
you
I'm going to leave it there.
I've only got one thing to say to that.
Okay. Yeah, I heard about this little device.
I've been waiting to use that for 2 weeks again.
I like that.
Macho Ghost has gadgets.
Why don't you shut up, Steve?
Martez, I believe we're going to have to cut the Macho Ghost off and end our partnership with him if he keeps that up. But I'll let you know if I go down that road. I hope I don't have to. But anyways,
it depends on how controversial I get. Steve might fire me.
That's true. It's true. I fire lots of people. I fired people at the last show. So we'll talk about that too. So many great things going on right now in wrestling as a whole. GPW, the storylines and the superstars are at a fever pitch as we're heading into Hell's Bells. So we'll talk a little bit about the Hell's Bells card. I'll give you some match exclusives tonight for those that are listening. I know there are a few, which is great. Shout outs to Heather and Stacy who listen regularly and were unhappy that we were not on the last 2 weeks. Trust me, you know, there are times when things just can't happen for very personal reasons, and try as we might and as much as we want to entertain, there are some things more important. And, you know, for Martez and for me, we had some things. So we're back. We're happy to be here. We got lots to talk about. And in just a few minutes, Sky Blue will be calling in. And that'll be exciting because she's very young, but she's been in the business a while. She's very skilled.
14 years old.
Right. I've been calling wrestling matches, and I've been watching indie wrestling now at this level, I want to say about 5 years going on. Macho, it was like back in 14 or 13, right? My memory is fuzzy.
I think so. Back when you started, even probably, probably about that time.
Yeah,
I grade the various sections of my life by the happiest parts and the most horrifying parts, and I believe that you started your wrestling career after some of my most horrifying parts.
This is true. So I want to say that it's been 5.5, 6 years that I've been doing this wrestling thing as a employee, an employer, whatever you want to call me, and I've seen some
backstabbing jerk.
Well, there's that. I mean, some people might say that. I'm not going to dismiss anybody's opinion. Opinions are like assholes. Everybody has one, and they all stink. Can I say that, Martez?
Bleep that out.
Are we going to get booted off the air here?
I think we're all good. We're all good to go.
Okay, thanks, Martez. I don't want to offend your religious sensibilities either. Now that I'm evil, my deal with the devil. I don't want that to affect our relationship. But that's neither here nor there.
Stacey Sparkles and Heather are big fans of Martez, and they're glad he's back, too. And they're big fans
of me, too. Now that Martez has been off of social media for a minute, a lot of the GPW fans reached out to me to extend their best wishes to Martez and his family. So, Martez, even though you weren't there to see it, there's a lot of love for one Mr. Ale on the Facebook.
Like I said, I appreciate everybody, the ones that I know and the ones that I don't know. I appreciate your support, and thank you.
Martez, I hope you got that fruit basket I forgot to send you.
I have no idea what Macho just said.
Can you repeat that, Macho?
Oh, I said, I hope you got that fruit basket I forgot to send you.
I got it, but I forgot to eat it, so
it's sorry.
That's all right, it was all wax. It was more decorative than anything.
Hey, maybe you can talk. Okay.
Go ahead. Go ahead, Martez.
No, it's not important.
Sorry, Steve's already upset because we're taking the show off the rails.
You're the minister of sound. Anything you has to say is important.
No, all I was going to say, maybe you guys can talk to Facebook because every time I try to create a new account, they shut me down.
Yeah, I was worried. I couldn't find you, Martez. I got real worried.
Yeah, I got to make a fake profile, I guess.
Well, fake, real, it doesn't really matter on Facebook, right? We got a lot of keyboard muscles out there, I heard a man say. So, you know, I keep my eyes peeled for all the wrongdoings. Anyways, tonight we'll talk a little, you know, we'll talk to Sky in a few minutes. And when we're done with her, we'll take a look back at High Road. A couple of things about High Road that, to me, kind of summed up the show for what it was. Urban Country, no longer employed by Global Professional Wrestling, had to fire him. Haven't fired many people over the tenure as general manager, but that one felt pretty good. Watching them walk out to the na-na-na-na, hey-hey-hey, goodbye song was pretty satisfying for me. So that was a pretty big moment in the show.
Was it satisfying for the audience?
I thought so. They really seemed to be pretty pleased with the decision. I mean, that was prior to certain events that transpired later. So, you know, I still pretty much had people on my side at that point. So that was a pretty good moment for the GPW Nation. Another match that was really good, that was everything we hoped it would be, was Miranda Wright's retaining her title against the Pretty Little Psycho, Shauna Reed. Shauna gave Miranda what have you, even busted her open. But Miranda still managed to take the title back and retain it. Not so sure she'll be as fortunate this month.
Oh, man, I heard a knock at the door. That means someone's on the phone.
Martez, let us open that door. Ladies and gentlemen, if my time and arithmetic are correct, joining us right now on the GPW hotline is none other than GPW's favorite sweetheart, the brand new Battle Royal Champion. If I'm right, it's Sky Blue. If I'm wrong, then I'm going to be embarrassed. Sky, is that you?
Yes, it is. Hello, hello.
Hey, there she is. How's it going, champ?
Good. How are you?
I am doing just fine, thank you. Boy, it's been kind of a whirlwind couple of months for you in global professional wrestling. You show up on a Sunday, and a month later, you're holding gold.
Yeah, it's insane. It's honestly insane.
Now, we're going to talk about what you're doing in global in just a few minutes, but I want to say I was unable to be there, unfortunately, due to some personal commitments and family things, but the talk of wrestling right now is the match you had this past Saturday night against the champion of CSW, Missa Kate. And I was watching the footage, and all I can say is, wow, and get down on a bended knee and applaud you. My God, woman, that was fantastic. Congratulations on cementing your legacy as someone to be reckoned with in professional wrestling. What a match.
Thank you. Thank you so much. It was honestly such a fun match. She is amazing to work with, and she's an amazing wrestler herself, too. And the crowd was amazing. Like, I have never performed in front of a crowd like that. That was just beyond, like, I was speechless.
Yeah, I mean, watching that video, the crowd was really amped up, and it was a great crowd. I mean, I've been working
was,
at CSW
yeah.
now for about a year. And, boy, they've had some really good crowds, but that crowd was absolutely heated beyond belief. And, boy, do they love them some Sky Blue in Chicago.
Yeah, they were amazing. They were so excited, and they were for Missa, they were for me. It was like they were torn down the middle. It was great.
So take us back to some of your favorite moments in the match. I mean, I know some people have seen it. I've shared the match on my Facebook page. You know, I feel like people need to see this because I feel like, you know, you're not, I mean, I thought for a while that you were up and coming, but I can't really say that anymore. I kind of feel like you've gone from up and coming to here and now. because you got gold. You took a very seasoned champion to the absolute limit. So take me through the match and some of the highlights that you saw.
Well, just for like my perspective, just walking out, I was just like, oh my God, this is happening. It's like, this is really happening. And just like, and then getting in there and just seeing everybody, it's just like, oh my gosh, this is real. Like, you're facing the champion, you know? And that was like the first like women's championship match I've ever been in, you know? And it was just, you know, walking up with her and just being like, oh, my, you know, I got to be in the zone, got to focus, got to, you know, get the job done. And just, like, the back and forth and just, like, thinking she had and be like, no, I got to counter. Or just, like, you know, even just saying, like, you know, I thought I went up to her and then she went up to her. And it was very tit for tat back and forth. And it was just, like, a really, like, we were both competitive and we both just wanted to beat each other.
I mean, it really was one of those matches that went back and forth. And what I really enjoyed was it was such a high rate of speed. I mean, you guys were absolutely, I mean, it was back and forth and quick and abrupt. And I thought I heard some "this is awesome" chants that you see on TV sometimes. To get that in a match like that, in an arena like that, I mean, you really have to be on point. So, congratulations to you, and also congratulations to the champ, Miss Kate. She's obviously a wonderful talent, and I've had a chance to work with her before. And you know, I feel for you a little bit because she's punched me in the face before, and I know I didn't like it.
Oh yeah, I felt it. But no, it was amazing. It was a great opportunity. I'm just so thankful for it.
Yeah, you are really fast tracking yourself to the head of many lines with the performances you have done of late. You know, watching over that match, you know, I've said this before. I've said it publicly. I've said it privately. You know, I've been calling wrestling now as a broadcaster for, you know, quite a few years, and I've seen many, many superstars, you know, come through the promotions that I've run through. I've seen some famous ones. I've seen some people I thought were going to be famous that didn't quite materialize. You remind me in a lot of the way you conduct yourself and the way your presence is in the ring to a very popular female wrestler named Kylie Rae. And I don't like to make comparisons because I think everybody's their own thing. I mean, you certainly, Sky Blue is certainly different than Kylie Rae, but boy, the energy you command in that ring and the positivity that flows out of you when you were interviewed on Kenton's Corner, you know, I think you charged the crowd up because you radiate such a tremendous amount of positivity. The picture that I posted to advertise that you were going to be on the show, that's the biggest smile I've ever seen on a professional wrestler's face that isn't named Kylie Rae. So the comparisons are there, and I like to think that's a compliment because she is a terrifically tuned athlete just like you are. So I mean that with all due respect. I'm not trying to diminish.
Oh, no,
I mean,
I
feel like that's a big compliment there because she's terrific as well.
Yeah, she's amazing. I love wrestling so much, and I've loved it so much, and it's just, like, you know, being able to do it, I'm just so happy. Like, it's like, this is, you know, this is what I live for, and this is what I love, and it's just, like, being able to do it, you know, I'm just like, yep, I'm happy that I'm just here, you know?
Well, I think, you know, you can be happy you're here, but, you know, looking into the future, I see where you're going, and I'm happy that I got a front row seat at this stage, because, you know, it's great when you're able to, when you recognize something, when you recognize a talent early on and you get to watch it kind of build its momentum and become unleashed on the world. So we are all looking for big things from you. There's no doubt about it. And, you know, you're our champ. You're the Battle Royal champ in an unlikely way. How did it feel getting the gold? I mean, I presume that's your first championship, or I could be wrong.
Yeah. No, it is. I couldn't even contain just what I felt like. I know I started crying, and, you know, a typical girl starts crying, but, like, I had never thought that I would ever hold the championship ever. You know, I was I was the only female, and so now being able to hold a men's title, and, you know, I was just overwhelmed and so excited and just like, oh, my goodness. Like, I couldn't, like, it was surreal. I couldn't believe that it actually, like, happened. I'm just, like, so thankful for the opportunity to, like, you know, show that I can hang with the boys too.
Oh, there's no doubt. And you know, that was obviously well documented in Tinley Park at the charity event when you went one-on-one with the very formidable Gobaldi, and that match was so exciting for me to watch and so popular with the people. And people that were at the charity event, you know, they were just there for, you know, burgers and beer and entertainment, and they gravitated toward our little wrestling extravaganza when Sky Blue hit the arena along with Gobaldi in that match. And you turned a lot of biker heads, that's for sure, in what you did to Gobaldi. And I thought the natural progression is, well, now that you're the champ, obviously you'll defend your title, but I thought it would be great for our loyal GPW fans that missed the event at Tinley Park to get a chance to see you and Gobaldi go one more time. So I don't know if you know this, but I'm going to tell you now, your match on Saturday, October 5th at Hell's Bells is a rematch against Gobaldi. And I think you better have your A game going, because I think Gobaldi wants to settle a score. I don't think he was happy being beaten.
No, that'll be an exciting match. You know, it was a good back and forth, not back and forth as much, but it was a good challenge, you know, and it was really exciting match, you know. I would definitely be on my A game. I can't let a man beat me.
There you go. That is what every young woman that's listening to this show wanted to hear right now from Sky Blue. That's terrific. Gobaldi, you know, when I was telling him, I told him earlier today about the match. He had some strong words. He said, you know, you're a fluke. You know, he did not disparaging. I mean, Gobaldi doesn't speak so good. I mean, I kind of feel like I'm speaking Wookiee when I talk to Gobaldi. You know, I kind of have to, I've been around him enough to kind of know what he's saying. And I don't think he meant it in a I don't think he meant it in a disparaging way, but I think he caught him off guard in Tinley. I don't think you're going to catch him off guard. I think he's going to bring you the best he has. And I think this might be one of the hottest matches on the card, because I sat ringside during this match and it was wonderful. So take me through how do you beat Gobaldi now that Gobaldi knows what you're all about?
Well, I think now he knows, you know, some of my, you know, repertoire per se, but there's a whole other side that I can pull out. So I just got to pull out the tricks that he doesn't know about and just try to keep one up in him and one up in him.
Ooh, a bag full of tricks. You got to love that. Now, before we get into other things I want to talk about, you know, some of the things that happened at High Road and what are going to happen at Hell's Bells, I want to hear a little bit about the origin story of a Sky Blue. I try to do this with everybody that I interview because I'm always so interested to see what about this business got you hooked in it to the point where you would train to do this on a regular basis, and not only train, but get to the point where you could fly around the ring like a Sky Blue does. So what was that moment when you were, presumably when you were a kid, you're pretty young as it is, but you know, I'm assuming like 5 years ago you were even younger. What point did you see something that made you go, wow, I love this, I have to do this?
So I always grew up watching it. My parents grew up loving it, and so they watched it all the time. You know, so I'd always see it on TV. You know, when I was younger, I'd be like, why are they hitting each other? Why are they hitting them with chairs? I'd be confused. But as I got older, I was like, oh, this is really cool. Oh, wait, this is really cool. And, you know, I loved watching the guys because, you know, they would do the longer matches. They do the hardcore matches. You know, they put the story on. But I what I didn't like so much was when the girls were considered divas and they did the two-second matches or the, you know, like the not taken seriously matches per se. I'm not trying to, like, diss that era, you know what I mean? But
No, but like I said, you know, nowadays, you know,
they let the girls
women
do what the guys do.
Exactly. Women in professional wrestling, I mean, it's not you're a woman wrestler or a man wrestler, you're a wrestler now, and it wasn't like that back a few years ago. I mean, you're dealing with, you know, bra and panties matches and, you know, mud wrestling and things like that. You know, things that were entertaining to a certain demographic, but certainly aren't as impactful as, say, you know, Becky Lynch versus Sasha Banks at a Hell in a Cell match. I mean, that would never have happened a decade ago. So I get what you're saying. I don't think you're disparaging it, but I know what you mean.
Yeah. Like, maybe around 8th grade, freshman year of high school, somewhere around there, I always watch that and be like, I wish I could do those kinds of matches. You know, I wish I could do that, not the girl, the girl type per se. And then when they started letting the girls do the longer matches, and then especially when they let, I can't remember exactly who it was, but they had a Hell in a Cell match. And I was like, that is what I want to do. I want to do what the guys can do, because I know if I push myself hard enough that I could.
I definitely think you've showcased that. You've obviously fought Gobaldi. He's a guy as far as we know. And obviously when you're in the battle royal, you're fighting, you know, everybody that's coming your way. And then, you know, fighting a competitor like a Missa Kate, she's on a level all of her own. So, you know, the challenges for you are very real. So not only are you paying tribute to what got you motivated to be in this business, but you're fitting right in with what today's woman athlete is all about. Doesn't matter what the challenge is, you're gonna face that challenge and kick the doors down and kick its ass.
Exactly. That's exactly what I want to do.
And you are doing it, and then some. And you're doing it with great style points too, because that smile is killer. So was there a match?
Thank you.
Was there a match that you saw on TV, when you were in eighth grade or freshman year, that you're like, oh my God, that is the greatest thing I've ever seen. This is the greatest thing on television. I'm hooked. What was the moment where you got hooked?
Well, my mom always talks about because my parents were at this match, actually. They were at the Undertaker versus Undertaker SummerSlam.
Okay.
So they always talk about that. We would rewatch it all the time. So that one always stood out, but definitely, like, letting the girls do the TLC or letting the girls do the Hell in a Cell, that was just like, okay, I can do it too. That was like, that was just going to be my motivation. Like, I don't per se want to do the hardcore, but I want to show that I'm the equal.
Well, that is motivating and as inspiring as I feel like I need. Okay, so you get the bug. Your parents love it, and you know, your parents obviously great supportive people. When we were at Tinley Park, your mom's taking pictures.
Yeah.
I think your parents were in attendance at Global at High Road.
Yep, they were. Yeah.
See, I keep missing these people. I want to shank their hands and thank them
I'll point them out next time.
I hope so. So, you know, your parents are supporting what you're doing, and you know, I've known a lot of wrestlers along the way who've had hills to climb with your parents. Do they give you advice ever, or are they just like in awe that you are doing what they watch and they love?
In the beginning, like, I told her, I was like, hey, I'm going to do this. I got this tryout. And she's like, what? She was just, like, shocked. Like, she was like, you're going to do what? And I was like, I got it. It'll be okay. And she's like, well, and, you know, she just, like, didn't know what to do. And then once I started pushing, she was just like, oh, my goodness, you're really doing it. And then she was, like, immediately supportive of it. And she was just like, you know, you just gave it your all. My dad, on first, he was just like, I don't know about this. You're a 5'2 chick, and, you know, you're going to go wrestle with a bunch of guys. I don't know, you know, being the protective dad. But then, like, as I got a couple matches in and my dad to see the matches, he's just like, oh, she can fend for herself. She's got this. I don't need to worry about it.
I have to be honest. As a parent myself, when you have that moment where you realize your child is a straight-up badass, is extremely gratifying.
Oh, my mom loves wrestling so much. I think she loves it just as much as I do.
Well, hats off to mom and dad, Sky, because to have supportive parents in this industry is almost like having a unicorn on your side, because it just doesn't happen very often. And, you know, you can tell that the way you fight with reckless abandon that you have to have angels in your corner, and it's nice to know that they're home supporting you, or they're at the venue supporting you. So, you know, having a good support structure is a key in life, and seems like that's why you're going to ride so high, is because you got a good, solid support structure.
Yeah, they're amazing. I love them.
Okay, so I have taken up a lot of time here. I'm going to ask the Macho Ghost, who is on the lineup. I'm sure he's mad and grumbling. He's generally mad and grumbly anyway. Let's see if he has any questions. Mach, you got any questions for the lovely Sky Blue?
Oh, yeah, yeah, Sky Blue, hello, and welcome to the show. What a pleasure to talk to someone who has such a bright future ahead of them. Yeah, I like to listen to the first part of the show to learn a lot about you, and plus it's the only time Steve talks where I can stand him. You know what I'm saying, Sky Blue?
I understand. Thank you for having me.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Now, first of all, I got to say that you've got this up-and-coming talent. I'm listening to you talk, and I'm thinking, man, you must have a lot of confidence, and you just have a lot of belief in your own ability, wrestling aside. Is that the kind of person you feel you are? Because you came in at a very interesting time in the wrestling business as you saw the end of the Divas-type era and now the beginning of the women's division era where women are finally being taken more seriously. Now, you already thought ahead of time, though, that you're ready for this. You're ready to do anything that the men could do. Is that your mindset from the very beginning?
I mean, at first I was nervous, you know, being, I was 16, almost 17 when I started. You know, I was nervous going in. I was, you know, short, young girl wrestling a bunch of bigger guys. But as I, you know, as I matured and got older, it's just like, oh, yeah, I can handle this. I just got to, you know, put my all into it, and I can do it.
Now, did you get any negative feedback from any of these guys? Because it can be a very male-oriented business, as we know, and sometimes they don't cut a lot of slack to the newcomers or young ladies, especially a diminutive person as yourself, who appears to be a very nice person as well. Did you have any hard time getting in the door, getting through the ropes for the first time?
I mean, you know, as I would post things on social media, I'd get, like, the weird comments. It'd be like, girls shouldn't be wrestling, girls belong in the kitchen, things like that. But it's just like, you know, you just got to tune them out and just keep pushing through and just show them and prove to them that, no, girls can do this too.
And I think, now, another thing you got to know, like I said, I think you sound like a very nice person. I got to warn you right off the bat, now that you're on the radar, now that people have seen a little bit of what Sky Blue can do, keep your eyes peeled at all times and keep an eye on your back. Because before you know it, maybe even go baldy this in about a week or so, people are going to start trying to take you out. I think you already had a run-in with the GPW World Women's Champion already. So just keep your eyes peeled. Be aware of all that all the time.
Oh, I definitely will. Cause, you know, there's people looking now, so I got to watch my back. So I definitely will.
And also,
you know,
too, I don't know if I should mention it on the air, but you kind of come from a dynasty, a family that's very like royalty here in the Chicagoland area. Do you want to say anything about that?
Oh, PJ Steele? No, it's just, he's a great person. He's a great wrestler, and
you got an older brother, you got an older sister, you got a brother-in-law, is that all true?
Definitely, yeah. TJ's my big brother. Man, I look up to him. He's an amazing person. He really is.
Oh, yeah, I like it. Now, what's it like first time? You've been kind of your expertise, your specialty seems all of a sudden to be battle royals. What's it like getting in the ring, maybe not so much at the charity event, but in the building, you're like in a sauna. It's like a meat locker, but it's a sauna, and you're surrounded by all these giant pieces of sweaty beef. What's running through your mind when that bell rings starting the battle royal? I would run for my life.
That's always an option, but not necessarily in a match. You got to just take them out one by one, like in a battle run. You know, just pick one to focus on, but always have that over-your-shoulder look because somebody could come up behind you from the side anyway. You just got to be on alert the whole time. Be on your A-game because everybody else is going to be on their A-game trying to take you out.
I think a lot of people, they underestimated you. They're going to be keeping their eye on you now. And I come from the school, I always believe, you know, little guy or little lady does not get beaten by a big lady or a big guy. I think the smaller the competitor, the more they fly around your head, disorient you, they tie you up in knots. A small person can beat a big person any day of the week, especially when they got heart like you.
Exactly. It's all about having the heart. You know, if you have the heart, then you can do anything.
Watch out for Steve.
Macho
Man, tell you, watch out for Steve.
Oh, stop it, Macho Ghost. Stop it right now. Macho Man stole my thunder just a little bit. I wanted the big reveal to be your lineage. Big Brother Ryan. Big Brother TJ is...
I'm keeping your thunder!
That's right, you stole my thunder. Big Brother TJ, that is a hard act to follow, and... whether it be Kimmy or TJ, you know, being from a wrestling family can sometimes be a little nerve-wracking, because, you know, obviously TJ Steele is a absolutely incredibly talented, well-traveled superstar, and the legend of Kimmy Zilla, just, you know, it's known from pillar to post. So here you are just starting out with this incredible reputation just right off the bat. Has that affected the way you've gone through the wrestling world, having, you know,
yeah,
that kind of thing?
Yeah, I bet you got gold faster than your brother did. Does he ever come over and hide your belt on you?
No. No, I hope not. Not that I know of. But it definitely sets a bar, but then it, you know, but it makes me want to reach that bar and then exceed it and keep pushing and just doing my best so that, you know, I can live up to my big brother and you know, show him that, hey, I can do this too, and I'm going to make you proud.
Well, I know for a fact that he is proud because, you know, he, in fact, GPW has come to enjoy your services, and we're very proud to have you on the roster, but if it wasn't for TJ saying, hey, I think this would be a great asset for you, you know, I didn't know. And then when you came out to Tinley Park, it was one of those moments where it's just like my jaw dropped, because I'm like, oh, my God, how have I not heard of this sooner? How did I miss this at CSW? I started to question myself as a general manager, because usually
you
I like
should.
To be on the forefront. Yeah, well, thanks, Mach. I appreciate that. But you were like the greatest kept secret, and now that you're here, you know, I think the GPW fans are the lucky ones, and you know, I give TJ Steele a lot of credit, because you know, he said, "Well, we'll let you use her for one night and see how it goes." So thanks to TJ Steele and Kimmy, and
yeah.
You know, now that you're here. You know, now we're going to have some fun, and it's going to be great. And you're going to be entertaining people in Posen two times on October 5th in your match versus Gobaldi,
yeah.
And then in your match defending your Battle Royal title. How do you feel about your first title defense? Are you excited? Are you nervous? What do you think?
I think it's a mix of both. I know I'm really excited. I can't wait to go perform in front of everybody and show them that, you know, girls can do it too. I'm just excited because last month at GPW, it was just so amazing. You know, from Tinley Park and then to the GPW show last month, it was just so amazing. And I'm just so thankful for the opportunity to be a part of GPW, because I absolutely love it. It's I don't even have words for it. It's just so amazing. And, you know, yeah, I'm a little nervous, you know, it's a title defense, but I'm definitely excited. You know, it's a new challenge, and I'm ready to take it on.
Well, you fit into the family just fine. In fact, I think you've raised our bar a little bit. The Macho Ghost also brought up another point that I wanted to ask you about.
I stole your lightning, too!
You stole it all, Macho, as you usually do. I'm just here to support you. You did have that moment at the end of the Royal where the defending women's champion, Miranda Wrights, came out and essentially said, hey, this is the real title. You know, what did you think when the champ comes out to stare you down? How does that make you feel?
It's definitely a little intimidating. You know, she's the women's champ, but I'm the Battle Royal champ, you know? It's two different things. You know, she's beaten all the women. Well, I beat the men.
Yeah, she beat one woman at a time once a month. You beat 20 guys in one night.
Exactly. It's a little different, you know, but that's a whole new challenge, and that's a whole new, like opponent to take on, and a whole new situation to then – you know, what word am I looking for here?
It's like a whole new mountain to climb, a new ocean to swim across.
There we go. He's got the words.
I got all the words. And some of Steve,
unfortunately,
too.
The Macho Ghost has too many words, and he usually says them while I'm talking. But that's neither here nor there. Sky, I appreciate you taking time out to talk to us tonight. And because you were so gracious to honor us on this show with your presence as we draw closer to Hell's Bells, I've got a little surprise for you tonight. Would you like a surprise?
Sure.
Well, I don't know. Watch out.
Okay.
Step away from your phone.
I'm going to tell you this. Miranda Wright takes on Casey Dillon, the Princess of Darkness, at Hell's Bells on Saturday, October 5th. Whoever wins that match will go on to defend the title for the final show of the year called Nowhere to Run. And at Nowhere to Run, Sky Blue will also be in that women's championship match. So there you go.
Oh, my goodness, really?
That's that, breaking news right here on this show.
Oh, my gosh.
So what do you got to say about that? You just were involved in the CSW Women's Championship match, and now here you are, two matches on October 5th, and then on November 2nd at the season finale, GPW Nowhere to Run, Sky Blue will be in the Women's Championship match against who? I don't know. I mean, I don't know if it's going to be Miranda. I don't know if it's going to be Casey. I don't know what the hell is going to happen at Hell's Bells, but on November 2nd, Sky Blue, you will be in the championship match.
Oh, my God. That is amazing. That is honestly amazing. I cannot. It's so surreal. It really is.
And isn't it worth calling just for that?
It was worth calling just again to talk to you guys. This is amazing. That's just a cherry on top.
So there you go. So I you know, like I said, you're not given anything. You earn everything. And
exactly.
I can't
like Steve
tell
mentioned
you
before, your brother might have put in a good word for you, but it's you that keep you around, and it's you who's getting you up that ladder, and it's you who's impressing people every second you're out there in that ring.
Thank you so much.
And the champ wouldn't come out and get in your face if she didn't see something in you that scared her silly. Because I've been a champ myself, you know, once or twice. And the champ doesn't pay any attention to somebody who doesn't bother him. And let me tell you, you must have got under Miranda's skin and probably made her dog cry, too.
Well, I'm just doing what I love, and I'm just so thankful for all the opportunities. And to be a part of GPW, I'm just so thankful. I can't believe it. I really can't.
Steve, I know you. I keep interrupting you, but I said, don't forget to ask Martez if he has a question before you let our new champ go.
I will. Martez, are you there?
He might not be there. Sometimes he hides on us, Sky Blue.
I think Martez might be taking a moment off. So if he chimes in, we'll let him have the floor. Nope, I thought that was him, but that's not.
Wait there, I hear him now. It takes him a minute. Sometimes he's in the bathroom.
Yeah, I don't have a question. Thank you, Steve. I don't have a question, but I just want to thank you for coming on to the show. I really don't have a question tonight, but thank you.
Thank you.
As strange as it is, even though he's the producer of the show, sometimes Martez doesn't listen to the show.
Well, that's his choice, certainly. I meant what I said when I say opportunities are not given, they are earned. And that charity show that you came in and blew everybody's socks off, you know, we had a hard time staffing that show. And the fact that you didn't really know anybody other than a few people that were there, and you still came out and gave us your all for a company that you'd never really worked for before, that resonated in me, and that said something to me about who you are as a person. And then when you showed up at High Road and you stole Kenton's Corner, and then you stole the show again by becoming the Battle Royal Champion. Well, at this point, there's no way a mere general manager can stand in the way of Sky Blue Mania. So I figured let's use it to our advantage and let's give you a title shot right now, because I'm sure what you have in store for us in October will carry over plenty until November.
Oh, definitely. I'm going to bring it my all. I can't wait for October. I'm extremely excited. Now I can't even wait for November. I'm just so excited and so thankful.
Oh, you've earned everything. Believe me, we appreciate your passion, your dedication, and your support to GPW. It means a lot to us. Now, I want to embarrass TJ just a little bit. Do you have any words for Big Brother? Because, you know, I know he's out there listening, and he's probably sweaty and red in the face, and, you know, he might even be shedding a tear or two. So I want crocodile tears. So can you give me something that'll make him cry like a baby?
TJ, I want to say thank you so much for being the Big Brother and taking me in your wing and just helping me and being the role model to look up to and being the real big brother that I've always needed. I can't thank you enough for the opportunities that you've given, not that you've given me, but that you've helped me earn and helped me achieve. And I can't wait to make you proud. And I love you.
Oh, now see, if that boy is not, if that boy hasn't emptied a box of Kleenex, he has less of a soul than I thought he did. Sky
he's
Blue,
really, he's amazing.
It has been a privilege and a pleasure to have you on our show tonight. And I know the GPW universe out there is looking forward to seeing you perform against Gobaldi and defending your title at Hell's Bells. And I think maybe now they're even more looking forward to what you're going to do in the women's title match in November. So you got a lot on your plate right now, young lady. Plus, we keep seeing CSW making crazy announcements, Tommy Dreamers and Shotzi Blackhearts. That's going to be probably the biggest show we've ever seen. And I'm sure you're going to be heavily involved. I mean, I think you deserve a rematch. So how would that be? A rematch for the women's title with Tommy Dreamer looking on. If that doesn't geek you out as a wrestling fan, I don't know what.
Oh, it definitely does. Just being in the same building, Will, you know, it definitely does. But I'm just so excited for the opportunity and just to be there, be a part of it all. And I just can't wait. I really can't.
You know, if I was in charge of CSW, I'd give you a rematch. But since I'm not in charge of CSW and I can barely run the state asylum that GPW is, I will wish you much luck up there on October 18th.
Yeah, you're in charge of enough, you greedy fiend. Now relax.
Sky Blue, thank you for your time tonight. Did you have a little bit of fun on the show?
Well, thank you so much for having me. It was amazing, and I'll do it anytime you want.
Did you have fun?
Yes, this was awesome.
Do you think your parents had fun?
Oh, I definitely know they did.
Well, there you go. Tell Mr. and Mrs. Sky Blue that I said hello. And we'll see you on October 5th. Ladies and gentlemen, the talented, the Battle Royal Champion, it is Sky Blue.
Thank you, and I can't wait for October.
All right, that's the champ right there. The champ,
Sky Blue is unlimited, yeah!
She has got my goodness, the bright future that young lady has. It's about to go supernova. That's no joke.
She has the bright future you used to dream about when you were her age, and look what happened to you.
I didn't do enough to make my dreams come true, but she just took Missa Kate to the wall and almost put Missa Kate down and became a champion in her first title shot. So I'm telling you what, Sky Blue is a legit talent in this industry, and, you know, like I said, the scales are all pointing up. And she did that match in front of some amazing contemporaries, Jason Hades, Nick Brubaker, trendsetters in this industry saw what she did. Marche Rocket, I hate to say it, but Mitch Blake. These are all people that have amazing pull in this industry, and I know they saw what I see. So, you know, the word is going to get out on this young lady fast, and, you know, you're going to see her, and you're going to see her a lot. And she is going to take Chicago by storm. She kind of already has. So I kind of feel like we got in early enough where she's with us for now. But boy, I don't think you can keep a talent like that in house very long. She is going to fly, and she is going to fly sky high.
Yeah. So keep your diabolical hands off of her career and stop trying to soak her in your misery.
Wow. Jeez, Mach. That's hurtful. We had a nice interview with a talented athlete. We had a champion in our midst, and, you know, I didn't think I was evil or nasty or mean at all.
No, you were very nice to her, but that's the thing. That's why I got to warn everybody, because Steve comes out and he's nice and is like, what? I don't know what happened. Oh, man, I must have been a little sleepy. Oh, maybe I was kind of hungry. I misunderstood the situation. Everything's going to be okay. Chair shot to the head.
Oh, see, now you totally misread that chair shot. See, I think I've been given a bad rap. I'm a nice guy. I'm a good guy. I'm a fun guy. We
I've
had a
been
lot
telling
of
people as long as I've known you to watch their backs.
All
Let
right,
me tell you
so,
something. Before the show came on, I thought we started earlier. That's because I was talking to a piece of crumpled up newspaper for a half hour before I realized it wasn't you because I got you confused with a piece of garbage.
Wow. That's hateful. That's hateful. Not completely unjustified, but hateful nonetheless.
I don't know that Mitch Blake guy. I don't know much about him after I see some of – I didn't watch his video today because I'm kind of disgusted with him. I didn't like his comments. You want to talk to a cardboard cutout of his father, that's one thing. People have done that to me. But then he said he was going to go and mess with your kids at school. Well, I'm anti-Mitch Blake now too, so I'm not rooting for – I'm rooting for the ring.
And I think the ring might be the one that wins. Anyways, so Martez. Where's Martez?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, there you are. What did you think of what's your reaction as a wrestling fan about what you heard from Sky Blue?
The first thing that jumped out for me in regards to her is that she's a wrestler and a performer that you can get behind. She definitely reminds her attitude. She reminds me of a Daniel Bryan or Bailey, you know. And as a fan, I would want to root for her. So that's the biggest thing that I got from that interview. That she's such a lovable person to get behind, she's one of those wrestlers that I'll probably cry if I was with a kid if she lose a match. So yeah, I would definitely want to get behind
she
her.
Won't be
such a good.
Hopefully she won't be losing anytime soon.
Yeah, you can't
create
what she has naturally, and I think it works really well for her. And like I said, I was really impressed by what she was talking about when she was watching as a kid. She looked at that screen, and she didn't look at the screen and say, oh, man, I want to be a wrestler, but I guess I'm just going to be stuck in stupid exploitation matches.
Right.
She looked at that screen and said, I'm going to beat those guys because I can do it, and that's what you need. That's the confidence, and that's the heart.
Yep.
She has buckets full of charisma, and you cannot phone that in. You cannot create it. You either have it or you don't.
I have a dump truck full of charisma.
Unfortunately, that's all you have. Being charismatic as a performer is something you can't teach. I have seen many wrestlers that are
Steve's been trying for years.
Yes, I've been trying for years. I have none. This is true. But I've watched wrestlers that I thought were phenomenal athletes. They could do every move. They could cut. They could make every hold. They could do every oh my God type move. Fly here, fly there. But they didn't make me care enough about what they were doing for me to care about their character. And I think people forget that wrestling is all about character. If you have a character that makes people cry or makes people mad or makes people happy, then you'll always have a job in this industry. But if you have a character that can do a lot of moves and do moonsaults and do this, that, and the other thing, but you're not selling anything, then people aren't going to care. You're going to be a pre-show match that people are going to forget.
No, I got the two things to elaborate on that if I can. Now, when Steve's talking, he's talking about talent. He's not talking about, I believe, like the WWE model where you got to go out there and cut a 20-minute promo, otherwise you're not going to be used. Steve's talking about that connection with the crowd. You can have all the moves, but you can cut promos. You've seen guys cut some pretty horrible promos. It doesn't make any difference. If you don't have something natural about you that draws people to you, that's just something you can't create. And the whole business is about character. Gimmick is not a dirty word. Whether your gimmick is something you made up, whether your gimmick is a more grandiose version of your own personality, that's important to every single wrestler out there. But not every single wrestler, unfortunately, can look someone in the eye and have that other person look them back and say, man, oh, man, I want to hang out with you.
That is exactly the point I was trying to make. I want to give you a great example of this. A guy that I work with personally on almost a daily basis at this point is the Turtle. The Turtle hasn't been doing promos for very long, and he's still growing into his promo persona. And he has a very very. He can be shy.
He's got a style.
Exactly. So, it's not always in his comfort zone to cut a promo. I mean, he cuts great promos. That one that he cut recently, you know, sitting on a park bench discussing his upcoming match with Jason Hades, that was fantastic.
I was very proud of him. That was a good promo.
Turtle has you know, he's trying to become comfortable in his skin when it comes to being on public display. But when he comes through the curtain, when he hits that arena, people love his charismatic persona so much that he is probably the most popular person, you know, at GPW right now. I mean, people chant for him, people cheer for him, people buy tickets to see him. And I think that is a testament to having charisma. He has the promo part of his package will come in time and practice, but he's got something that Mitch or any trainer can't teach. He has got charisma. He identifies with people. He brings people into his character almost better than anybody that I know right now working. So kudos to Turtle. And, you know, that is a great example. You don't have to be the greatest wrestling athlete. You don't have to be the greatest promo cutter, but if the crowd identifies with what you're doing and you can bring it to the crowd and they'll give it back to you, you can go far in this business.
Now, look, now I'll be the first one to say now I look at Steve and I see a rat on his back in the sewer, but what he's just saying is good, and he realizes something, and that's what the really good owners or really good promoters or really good general managers can see. Not everybody is going to go out and cut the same kind of promo, just like everyone's not going to go out and cut the same kind of wrestle the same kind of match. Everybody has different strengths, and figuring out that Turtle is very very good at what he does the way he does it, he may always give low-key promos. He may become more comfortable with it, but that may just be his style, and that may be what works for him. So allowing a talent to develop his own style is more important than trying to fit him in a box of what a professional wrestler should be.
And we know that in the land of television, that's all they want to do at some of the larger places is put people in boxes and sometimes shut them and suffocate them.
Well, I don't think they work hard enough lots of times. Like, I'm not a fan, not to get off track, I'm not a fan of the current pairing of Shinsuke Nakamura with Sami Zayn. I think you got to be more creative. If Nakamura's not very good at English, then you help him and you think of a different way to get himself across. You don't have to find someone screaming and going crazy. I think it blunts Nakamura's character. You find people to do those things. You find a way for someone like Lance Storm has always been a good example. It's always charisma challenged, people would say, but it's hard to find someone with more talent in a pair of wrestling boots. You got to find a way, and you help that person connect in a promo if they can't do it. And I believe everybody at this point is sick of seeing 25-minute-long Triple H promos. It's time for things to be a little bit different.
Perhaps.
That is kind of the part of the package, though. You do have to be able to speak, but you have to be able to do it in your own way and get across and be effective. Like Martez.
Okay.
Martez pops in every 10 or 15 minutes, and he shuts the show down with his brilliant commentary and insightful questions.
That's probably true. All right, let's get back on track to GPW land here. Some of the highlights of last month, Urban Country gone. Bryce Benjamin came in for his first show with Global Professional Wrestling, and Bryce Benjamin was everywhere. He had a tremendous match versus Tom Heisman. He came out and provided a wrinkle in the championship match. I don't think he got on Samuel's good side, that's for sure. But, you know, like I said, I brought Bryce Benjamin in to shake things up, and shake things up he did. And I don't know if you saw the little promo between him and Marche Rocket. Marche actually saying, "It may be all day, but not today."
Yeah, I don't think Marche didn't appear to be appreciative of his friend's helpfulness there with Zamiel. And does Zamiel have a good side?
Well, Zamiel's got many sides. I try to tap dance around all of them so to stay out of his radar. I think I'm a little bit on his radar now, but I'm hoping by putting him in a very, very difficult match at Hell's Bells. I can keep him focused on other things other than what I'm doing.
He's like
so
a marshmallow filled with lighter fluid.
Yes, he is. We're going to make a match announcement right here, right now, at Hell's Bells. Zamiel will be in action, and he will take on Bryce Benjamin. So if that's not a reason to pay $10 in Posen on October 5th to buy a ticket to see one of the darkest performers in professional wrestling today against a man that is too sexy for his own being, that should be a showstopper right there. Mach, what do you think about Zamiel versus Bryce Benjamin?
I like it. I like it. Natural progression. Yeah, and once I said there's not many places in Posen that you'd want to spend $10, but this is one of them. Now, let's just say Zamiel's been pretty calm. He and Marche kind of on the good guy page, both of them. They didn't really get into it or mix it up in any kind of violent, disgusting way. So it'll be interesting because Zamiel's been laying low for quite a while. Is Bryce Benjamin and his overall cockiness gonna tip the scales on a Zamiel? Maybe make that marshmallow catch a little fire? And
I don't
mean marshmallow because of his weight. I look at his head, and it looks like an evil marshmallow to me.
He is a formidable individual in
like
the land.
Like a snowball with corpse paint on it.
In the land of the dead and in the land of the living, Zamiel walks alone. And, you know, Bryce Benjamin and Marche Rocket are friends, good friends. You know, so it'll be interesting to see what happens as that match progresses.
Yeah, Steve's a good friend of mine, too. It doesn't mean much of anything. He kind of, Zamiel kind of looks like that juggalo even the juggalos don't want to talk about.
That's probably true. So we've got Zamiel versus Bryce Benjamin at Hell's Bells. We've got Sky Blue versus Go Baldy 2 at Hell's Bells. And as you saw in some of the promos that came out, Big Daddy Dino, who is just one of the most troubled souls I have ever seen, and his friend Ryan Matthews, the beautiful one, will be in tag team action against Nacho Clown and Cypher, otherwise known as the Sideshow. That match has lots of levels to it. That's like a powder keg. Cypher
it's
not
very
is
not cohesive.
Cypher is not happy with anyone. Nacho Clown is determined to turn Cypher into some kind of sideshow freak, and Dino cut a promo, a very suggestive promo about his relationship with Ryan Matthews. It took a lot in me to actually air that promo because I'm like, the overtones here are extremely dark. And you know,
there was a lot of talk about prison love. I'm sure Martez witnessed a lot of that while he was ministering in the prisons the last couple weeks. Also, too, if things don't work out for Dino in wrestling, he could have a good career as an ASMR person. I was kind of digging that.
Well, I don't know what to make of it. I just know that he's on the stuff and he's got issues, and I don't know if Ryan Matthews. I think I might have to give Ryan Matthews a reprieve at some point from partnering with Big Daddy Dino. I think Big Daddy Dino might have to go it alone for a bit. He's a danger to himself and others, but it should
I think Ryan Matthews needs to bring his own big head and get Dino his big head just like it, and they need to go to the ring and have their big heads with them.
You might be right about that, the big head tag team. We'd love that. So that should be a very interesting matchup. We'll announce a few more matches next week as we do one final show prior to Hell's Bells. So we'll give you some more matches, some more sideshow activity. We'll talk a little bit more about Hades and Turtle. I want to donate more time than we have tonight to talk about that match because that match needs to be talked about. We'll talk a little bit about the championship match as Metalhead will take on Marche Rocket. People are saying, why does Metalhead deserve a title shot? Well,
corruption.
Metalhead's getting a title shot because of what happened in his match with Mitch Blake. Okay, Macho Ghost, go ahead.
Oh, is there something you'd like me to say? Well, just because you want me to say it, for that reason, I'm not going to.
But I'm giving you the forum to disparage me in any way you see fit.
I do that anyway. Metalhead's complaining about what? I don't know. You two were trying to kill each other. He was going to strangle your own child a couple months ago. Now you're best buddies, hanging out, and I don't know what to have you, what kind of weird face you're having, what kind of basement you're hanging out in, doing each other's laundry. What's going on there?
Well, you see.
When did he sign the deal with the devil, and the devil being you?
Well.
Relax, Marquez.
You know, there are a lot of layers to the story between me and Metalhead.
Yeah, you're like that taco salad you get at Jewel when you go to a party. There's like 18 layers.
I've never heard us compared to taco salad, but okay, we'll let that ride.
Like eight or nine layer salad, something like that, you know. Cheese.
Yeah.
Sour cream's in there.
I've got nothing. I have absolutely nothing. Okay.
You're like the salsa that's a little too spicy for its own good. And Metalhead's like the guacamole in there that's been left out too long and has turned from a beautiful, luscious green to a disgusting, putrid, khaki green, like a World War II Army fatigues.
Wow.
You two are the two things in the salad that everybody eats around.
Wow. This is an uncomfortable comparison in many ways. I'm not going to.
You guys don't even get single dipped.
I thought you didn't have anything to say about this.
Well, you know, all it takes me is a second to think about it.
Your mouth is oftentimes faster than your brain.
Yes, that's what happens a lot of times.
So.
Now, wait a minute. We're talking about all this stuff next week. We still got 20 minutes in this show. What are you going to talk about now?
Well, I got other things to talk about. I've got some things that I want to talk about, upcoming things. And we'll talk about that.
I know. Stacy Sparkles is happy that you finally gave the title match to Metalhead. But, yeah, like you were saying, how does Metalhead get a title match? He lost, and then he didn't really win because that was cheating because there was a metal chair involved in someone else's head. So how does that put him in contention other than your corrupt soul has the pen to sign the contract?
Well, that's really all it is. What my corrupt pen wants to do, my corrupt pen will do. I don't give a damn about what anybody thinks about what I'm doing to run this company. I'm running it into the ground. That should be obvious at this point. I'm going to be the final sword stroke that cuts the head off this miserable beast known as GPW. I said very clearly that I am going to take this company to the ground, and when we have that final show in November, the show title will really be applicable because there will really be nowhere to run for the people that have crossed my path that I don't like. At Hell's Bells, we're pulling out the stops, but when things come crashing down in November, you'll have to sift through the ashes to find your heroes.
That title in November to The Labyrinth of My Vengeance.
Maybe I will. Maybe I will. I will do that. We put too much value on our heroes. Because we have heroes, it makes us feel less about ourselves because we want to aspire to achieve lofty goals that we can't possibly do. So to me, the heroes in GPW have needed to fall for a long time. So I've waited and I've planned for years to kill the heroes, and their day is coming.
And that's a twisted individual right there, Martez.
The children might cry, the old people might sigh, but in the end, there'll be nothing left but rubble and the ghosts of yesterday.
I met the ghost of yesterday. Stop disparaging her. Now listen, what are you going to do in November at midnight when you're standing supposedly in a pile of your own rubble? What does that mean for you? It's like those megalomaniacs in all the movies who want to destroy the world. Okay, go ahead, destroy the world. Then what do you do tomorrow when there's no world and it's just you sitting in a pile of garbage and you can't tell a difference between yourself and the garbage like me earlier? I mentioned it.
I'm glad you had the fortuitiveness to ask that question.
I got the five, six, and seventiveness.
Steve, what are you going to do if you kill your company? Well, the logical explanation is to, from the ashes and rubble, build something brand new.
Oh,
man, Martez, I think he's going to let us in on some sneaky backdoor information.
No,
yeah, I'm interested to hear.
We've got a few GPW weeklies to go before that name changes. So I'll do the honorable thing and support the brand until then. But don't think for a minute that the end game of this equation doesn't have a new beginning.
Now, remember, Steve, remember very, very well, you like the cinema as much as I do. Don't forget that Thanos got his head cut off, and even the Emperor took a nosedive into a nuclear reactor.
Well, that's because the aforementioned villains that you speak of got sloppy.
Uh-oh.
Everything that's happening is by my hand. Everything that is transpiring is going according to my will. I've left nothing to chance. You can't beat the dealer when the dealer holds all the cards.
Yeah, Martez, remind me to call my lawyer and update my will.
All right, I will.
How do you live with yourself, Steve? How do you sit there and be so twisted inside with all these machinations and rictus grins? How do you do it? Why? What do you look at your children in the face and say, don't follow me, boys, because I'm a disgusting lump of crime? What do you do? How do you think such disgusting thoughts? How do you look on people's careers and people's livelihoods? How can you stab them in the back like that? How could you profess to be an honorable person, yet go behind the scenes and stab your comrades in the back? Say, look at that. I'm being controversial, and you don't even know it.
No, I do, and you're making good points here. The blueprint for what you just said has all but been laid out before me. It's almost as easy as paint by numbers, because those smarter than me did it before me.
I hear some music in the background that's quite appropriate.
Well, there you go. That's a happy accident. Anyways, the blueprint was there. All I had to do was paint by numbers and, achieve what needs to be achieved. And you say it's heinous, and I'm taking careers and lives, and you're romanticizing the evil a lot. But what you don't understand is I'm basically taking something that's rotten and spoiled, and I'm squashing it and returning it to the earth so that something new and good and better will blossom. Sometimes you need to kill half the population for the other half to sustain itself, as we saw in film.
Man, oh man, oh man. Uh-oh. That's what I was trying to warn Sky Blue about. I'm sure if you were to ask her, she would say you got to get out there, and if there's someone you don't like, then you do your own thing, and you work as hard as you can, and you make a good example, and you don't worry about them. It's when you think that you're righteous in your own mind, and you think you're the good guy, taking out the bad guy, taking out the trash, when you don't even realize that the tactics you're using actually make you the villain.
So what you're saying is the path of the righteous man is beset on all sides.
Yeah, the path of your kind of righteous man is beset on all sides, but it's on all sides with the truth, and you don't like to look at it.
Well, maybe I do, maybe I don't. But you know what? As the smartest guy in the room, I think I'm going to keep pushing things forward. I think
Martez
I'm
is the smartest guy in the room.
Maybe.
Nah.
Maybe. Anyway, Enough about the future. We'll talk more about that in upcoming episodes of GPW Weekly next Thursday and then Thursdays following it. Once we get to November 2nd, through the holidays, there might be a bit of hiatus as we rebuild.
Famous ring announcer and commentator Nick Hiatus?
That's right. We're going to rebuild and we're going to retool and we're going to come back in 2020 as something brand new. So we've got a few more shows to cover some of the things that are going to happen, and I'll tell you more about my plans as they happen.
Now, Marquez and I signed contracts till 2023, so don't try getting rid of us.
No. You have to keep servants, I mean, or you have to do things yourself. So, you know, I'll keep you guys around to do my light work.
Oh, man, Marquez, I think he just called you a waiter and me a maid.
It's all good. As long as I'm along for the ride, I'm good.
Evans, no. I want to talk for the last 15 minutes about this Sunday, September 29th. In Dalton, Illinois, I will be making my Ileana professional wrestling debut.
Ooh.
Ileana, is that like some weird area of demilitarized zone between Illinois and Indiana?
It just might be, and Dalton is a good place to find demilitarized zones, but that's neither here nor there.
It sure is. I told you people drive through Pose and go in other places. People don't even drive through Dalton because they don't even have it on a map.
Now, listen, the IPW people love Dalton, and I'm going to love Dalton because I'm going to acquire my first championship this Sunday at their Champions Collision extravaganza. It's their year anniversary show, so this is
they're
like WrestleMania.
They're handing out filthy jerk awards?
No, but there are going to be some very, very entertaining people there. The villain, Joey Ross, will be there.
Oh, man.
And C-Red and the rest of the ARC. I get to reacquaint myself with Red and Miles Silky Mercer and the Queen of Mean, Renee Van Peebles. And, you know, there are the Red Flag Army is in attendance. I mean, IPW is no joke, man. It is one of the most solid wrestling promotions working today.
I don't care about that Joey Roth. Where's that Roxy Hart?
She is. She will be there too. One does not go without the other. That's for sure. So these are people
like
that I'm excited.
Like peanut butter and salami.
These are people I'm excited to work with. I'm excited to be reacquainted with my good friend Rion Skills. I appreciate him for giving me opportunity here. And I won't be wrestling. I will be drinking.
Now, first off, wait a second. Rian Skills and I once had a match at the top of the Eiffel Tower. What do you mean you're going to be drinking? Are you going to be drinking in the tears of the children?
No. IPW has a beer drinking championship title. And
of
the champion, and the champion is a little pissant that I've known way too long called Sean Danger. Sean Danger, you can't describe Sean Danger. Sean Danger is, he's like a supersized, you know, if you had a inflatable garden gnome with a Santa Claus hat that you put in your front yard at Christmas time, that's kind of what Sean Danger would look like. It's like he's a giant garden gnome with a beard that is just riddled with stuff that that shouldn't be in a beard, quite honestly. I'll leave it at that. It's kind of nasty. And Sean Danger is their resident drunk, and they got tired of having him drunk at all the shows, so they gave him a belt and said, "Here, defend this, and stop sleeping on the bench or something." I don't know how that title came to be, but I'm going to take it from him on Sunday, September 29th. So. I'm not, you know, I'm not a sport drinker, that's for sure. But I believe I can drink this little idiot under the table five ways from Wednesday. So I'm going to beat him. I'm going to outdrink him. And then I'm going to shave his beard. and hopefully then the building can be sterilized, because you know there are bed bugs in there.
Martez, I've just heard a lot of disgusting things. I don't even know what to say.
Yeah, especially
yes,
those bed bugs.
React to this.
So you're going in there, and what happened? You're not what? I don't even know if the sports drinker is a thing. Do you go in high school into the when you see your counselor and they say, well, your SATs indicated that you are would make a good sports drinker. What are you going to do? You're going to go in there and you're going to drink so much beer until the other guy passes. Is it going to be like the Raiders of the Lost Ark? Are you Marion Ravenwood?
Maybe. No. To win the match, you have to be the one that doesn't vomit.
I say thanks for putting in that extra stipulation and making it even more disgusting.
So whoever spews first loses.
You know, in my day, when you'd have a beer drinking thing, you would win by hitting the other guy in the head with a bottle.
Well, I'm not going to say that hasn't crossed my mind. You know, I'm going into what I would consider a very volatile territory for a guy like me. C-Red has been out to get me for 5 years. And
C-Red kind of spend time. You picnic at the same park.
Yeah. C-Red, you know, people think C-Red and I don't get along. That's not entirely true. As a matter of fact, the beer drinking competition is happening just prior to the three-man tag team championship, the captain's match, in which it's Sean Danger and his two partners versus the ARC. So, in a sense, if I do well in the beer drinking match and I push Sean Danger to his limits, I will be assisting in softening the meat for C-Red and his ARC to win the titles, because Sean Danger's team, of which he is the captain, they have the belts. And
but Sean Danger, incidentally, those two words don't go together, Sean and Danger. And what's his two partners, Itchy and Scratchy? And then who are they fighting? Is it Mercer? Is it that John Hudson, Mr. Gaines? Is it who else was in there?
Well, the original ARC back in the day did have you did have John Hudson, certainly, and Willie DeBomb Richardson was in the ARC, and Rion Skelly was in the ARC. Nowadays, it's just the Queen of Mean. Boy, she's intimidated me more than a few times. And then every time I see Miles Mercer, he just laughs at me because he thinks I'm, you know, comical, or he just thinks I'm ridiculous. And then C-Red just hates me. But I'm doing them a favor. What the hell was... I don't know what that was, but it was weird.
Whatever it was, is derogatory towards you.
I'm sure that it was. So C-Red and Queen of Mean, Renee Van Peebles and Miles Mercer, Silky, they should be on my side, because I'm essentially softening up them. Because the only way you can win a captain's match is by pinning the captain.
I see.
And C-Red is the captain of his team. Sean Danger is the captain of his team. So if Sean Danger is passed out drunk, I mean, wouldn't he be substantially easier to cover?
I would think so. Unless he's covered with his own vomit, it might backfire on you. No one would want to touch him.
Well, C-Red always comes equipped with a plan, so I'm sure he'll have a bag or something he could put over Sean Danger before he pins him. So
I remember that Renee Van Peebles. I always liked her song Mercedes Boy.
No, that was Pebbles.
And most people don't know this, but I know lots of stuff about everything. C-Red, the C actually stands for chrysanthemum.
I don't believe that's true.
Check his birth certificate.
Anywho, so in a way, if you think about it, technically for one night on September 29th, I am an honorary member of the ARC. We have the same goal.
Interesting. Thieves lying together like fleas on a dirty dog passed out in the desert.
By the way, C-Red was honored over the weekend at a wrestling convention in Rosemont, was manager of the year. It is an honor that I know means a great deal to him, as it should. So on behalf of everybody at GPW, everybody here at GPW Weekly, congratulations to C-Red. Tremendous honor. Wish I had the opportunity to be there, but I was out of town or I would have gone. So very exciting for him. Well-earned. And if I have my way, the ARC will get those three-man tag team titles, that's for sure.
Didn't your old friend, the Two Count Lou, just win an award as well?
I don't like to acknowledge Two Count Lou. Two Count Lou is beneath me, kind of an idiot, kind of a short bus kind of guy. You know, I've suspended him, I've fired him, I've done everything, and he keeps coming back for more. Rumor has it he's going to be at Hell's Bells. I don't know what for, but that's okay. Congratulations, Lou. I guess you deserved it or something.
Well, gee, Steve, good luck. I hope you don't pass out or have a heart attack or die from alcohol poisoning.
You know what, Macho Ghost? I think it should be obvious at this point that I always have a plan.
Well, I know that, and I know I think you're over-planning a little bit. I've been looking at you in these videos. You're leading quite an extravagant lifestyle on these golf courses and the waiting for limousines and whatever else. You might be able to afford a better-looking suit, but at this point, I think you're maybe be like a little bit Rocky from Rocky III, and Clubber Lang might be coming to knock your head off.
If by Clubber Lang you mean Mitch Blake, Mitch and I have a date with Destiny at Hell's Bells. I personally don't think Mitch is going to show up. Maybe his dad will, and I'll fight his dad, and that'll be fun.
His dad's a pretty interesting guy.
But like I said, you know, at least Mitch Blake's dad has a set of balls on him. I mean, you know, he's man enough to come up here and want to start some stuff with me. I don't think Mitch has balls at all, because I think they're in Miranda's purse. And the only time
Turtle know about that? That came as a shock to everybody because they broke kayfabe. Does Turtle know about that?
And the only time Mitch sees his ball is when Miranda opens her purse to pay for dinner.
Man, oh, man. It's okay to have a sugar mama, trust me. We'll have to talk more about that next week, but I got to tell you something.
Yeah.
Guess who else is going to be at Hell's Bells there on October 5th?
Who?
Me!
You're coming to Hell's Bells?
The Macho Ghost in full Halloween regalia is going to be there. Yeah, I need you to reserve a box seat for myself, the Swink, and Stacy Sparkles.
Well, my goodness, if I'm going to have the ghost in the house, that just made Stacy Sparkles nice. She implored upon me to get you to come out to a show so she could meet you face to face. So,
well, it's a Halloween themed show, so I can blend right in like that.
You will be welcome as always, but a little piece of advice, Mr. Ghost. You and I have been friends a long time. We've seen a lot of stuff, and you have a lot of opinions that I don't necessarily agree with. But if you step out of line at Hell's Bells, then you will be part of the hero entente that ends up in the rubble.
Ooh, yeah, I think I like that. I think I like that. I think I also might be the macho bat in your corrupt belfry.
You might be. That's entirely possible.
I'm trying to get Martez to come, too.
Martez, if you're ever in town from Detroit, I hope you do come on a show Saturday so we can have you as our guest of honor.
It's only a 5 or 6 hour drive.
I'm working on
already left.
Like, I hate to say that I'm a coming. Wait.
Okay. Is Martez dead?
Martez is everlasting. Everybody who just has one name is everlasting.
This is probably true. Martez, I think it's time we tried to pilot this ship home. Can you take us home, or can you even hear what I'm saying? Cue the music.
You want me to start humming something?
Maybe.
I think maybe
right,
Martez
well,
is like
guys,
me.
I,
why don't you shut up, Steve?
All right, I'm back, guys. I got it. It's a long story. I'll take it home.
Martez, why don't we take this ship home?
Why don't you shut up, Steve?
Okay. Come on.
Happy trails to you.